Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in Dane Brugler, who joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to talk about it all. Follow him on Twitter at DPBrugler, NFLDraftScout.com. Dane, I was looking at your draft guide. I've been looking at it since it came out, but I was looking at your draft guide past 10 o'clock last night while the NBA games were going on. It was just, it's so detailed. I said it was Belichickian and its detail and what it goes into. And you've done all this research. You've watched all these quarterbacks. You've watched all these players in different positions. So you know what you know. If you were the Browns, what are you doing at pick one and pick four? And then tell me what you think they're going to do.
I would do Sam Darnold and Bradley Chubb. I think that's the direction I would lean. We know they're going quarterback at one. It just comes down to preference. And then at number four, quarterback is the most important position on the roster. Pass rusher is the second most important position. So you get your quarterback, and then you get the guy that gets after the quarterback. I think that makes the most sense. Hopefully it's a scenario where a quarterback goes 1, 2, 3. That way the Browns have their option of the top non-quarterback at four. That'd be an ideal scenario. I'd like to see him pick at four. If they get a trade offer from Buffalo or another team to move back, you have to consider it, depending on what the offer is. What I think they're going to do, I think it's funny because over the past few months, it seems like everyone has been trying to paint a picture of the type of quarterback that John Dorsey wants. Most people concluding that it must be Josh Allen because Dorsey prefers the physical measurables. But Dorsey, when you look at his track record as a GM, he's made two major quarterback moves, traded for Alex Smith, and he drafted Pat Mahomes, two quarterbacks with very different skill sets. So while I think it's clear that Dorsey prefers height, weight, speed numbers, what those are important to him, I wouldn't necessarily say that for quarterback. So while Allen has all the physical traits, I would argue that Dorsey cares more about winners at the position, which is why I absolutely buy Mayfield and Darnold. They're both in that conversation for the top pick. Darnold, 20-4 as a starter, led U.S. to the Rose Bowl in 2016, Pac-12 title last year. Mayfield, he went 34-6 as a starter at OU. He had three Big 12 titles, two appearances in the college football playoff. And I think those numbers and that competitive makeup that both offer stand out a little more than 6'5 and 240 pounds.
Dane Brugler, join us on the hotline. Why in the world is Josh Rosen not a part of the conversation when I can find plenty of people, plenty of pundits out there that says he's the best pure passer of anyone? Since when is that not a desirable trait for number one overall?
Yeah, and I think that Josh Rosen's going to be going somewhere in the top 15 picks this year, and I get why some people would have him as a top quarterback. If I have a really strong offensive line and, he doesn't have to move around much and I put a lot of talent around him, kind of like a Matt Ryan, he can thrive in this league. He can be a winning quarterback. But when things break down and he's forced to move a little bit, that's when the decision-making breaks down. That's where you worry about the long-term durability. And I'm not even going to go down the road where, about the character concerns and all that. That's going to be looked at very differently by every team. The coachability and all that. I'm not even going to go down that road. Just stick with on the field. You do worry about the medicals. A guy that missed half of the 2016 season, multiple concussions this past year. You worry about his mobility, be able to create when he has to move his feet. And in the NFL, we know that happens quite a bit. So I think those are the main concerns, and I think that's why there's a good chance he won't be the first quarterback or even the second quarterback drafted. He could be good value for a team like the Dolphins at 11 or Buffalo if they trade up into the later portion of the top 10. But I don't think we're going to see him go in the top half of that top 10.
Dane Brugler joining us on the show there. Yeah, we got some audio of him yesterday with Andrew Siciliano kind of going Ric Flair on all the other picks that we're going to play a little bit later on. I think that might endear some people to him. Can I go back to something again? So you do believe that the Browns are going to go with Darnold and Chubb. Is that true?
I mean, that would be my guess.
Okay.
It's hard to say because I'm not, and there's plenty of people in the Browns in that building who don't know what direction they're going to go. So my best guess would be those two.
So say you're there at 4, Chubb's there, Buffalo's ringing the phone off the hook. What would it take for you to move out of 4?
Well, I think you use the trade value chart as kind of a guideline just to give you an idea. And for Buffalo, picks 12 and 22 equal about 2,000 points. And pick number 4 is worth 1,800 points. So those two picks right there would technically be an overpay for Buffalo to go up there. So you're getting good value. But we're talking about a quarterback. They're going up to get their franchise guy. So it's going to take a sweetener. So I would take that 12th pick in either 22 this year, or I would probably ask for a first rounder next year instead. And then I would tell them they need to throw in pick number 65, our old pick. All right, so we're once again picking in the 3rd round. So if I can get picks 12, next year's 1, plus pick 65, then I think I would make that move. As much as I like Chubb, I'm getting, you know, 3 extra players instead of Chubb. At pick number 12, I can get Mike McGlinchey. I can get the second best pass rusher in the draft, Harold Landry. Maybe Minka Fitzpatrick falls to me there. And then not only am I slated for 2 first rounders next year, but I also get my 3rd rounder back this year. And instead of no 3rd round picks, I now have 1, and it's at pick 65. So I'm picking 33, 35, 64, 65. I feel great about that.
Okay, Dane, that's what the chart says, and you're saying you feel good about it, but then you don't get Bradley Chubb. And I've been fantasizing, and you get into my head, I fantasize about some odd things, but I am loving the thought of having Chubb, Myles Garrett, and Emmanuel Ogba on that defensive line. I think now you are starting to build that team much like that Eagles defensive line, much like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'd rather go that way. How many young guys can the Browns possibly have on a football team if they really want to win games?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think you're wrong. If you want to stay at 4 and get Bradley Chubb, Bradley Chubb is a guy, the last 3 years, he averaged 20 tackles for loss every single year. Double-digit sacks the last 2 years. He has at least 3 forced fumbles each of the last 3 years. You love the production. Now, it's kind of like last year with Myles Garrett. Is he as physically gifted? No, but he has a lot better production than Myles Garrett had in college, and you feel good about him stepping in from day one and making an impact. But you mentioned the Eagles. Where did they get Derek Barnett last year? It was pick 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. You can still get a Harold Landry, an impact pass rusher, at that point in the draft. You can still find good players. And so it just comes down to, what would you rather have, Bradley Chubb or, 3 other players, the 2 first rounders and then the 3rd rounder? I would lean with the 3 players. I would trust my scouting. And as much as I love Bradley Chubb, he's a big time player. I would make the Bills overpay for what they have to do to go up to get the quarterback. And it's not like we're trading away from a quarterback like we've seen the last 2 years. We're trading away from a pass rusher, which still stings a little, but I feel good about the talent I'm going to get at 12 in a 3rd round and then having 2 first-round picks going into next year.
Dane Brugler joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com. You worry about any of the off-field stuff with Baker Mayfield?
I do. Does he need to mature? Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. I think some of his comments, this pre-draft process tells you that at the very least he just needs PR training, for what he's going to say and kind of just the perception of who he is. And I mean, that's fine if he's unfazed by what anyone thinks of him. I mean, you love that. You want him to not care what the fans think of him or the media, but at the same time, you still have to massage that a little bit. And you're going to be the face of the franchise whenever you're drafted here. In the next, in about 36 hours. So, for Baker Mayfield, the off-field incident, like in terms of him as a criminal, I'm not necessarily worried about that. He had the one run-in with police. I'm more worried about just, the maturity factor. He does need to mature in areas. He's a leader. I think teammates are going to follow him. But I do think he needs to dial it back a little bit, understand when to flip the switch with that competitive drive. It's always going to be there. You're not going to totally turn it off. But maybe instead of flipping the switch, maybe a dimmer. Just kind of dial it down a little bit when he's off the field.
See, we only flip switches on this show, Dane. So there's no
dimming. We do it for the Cavs.
Nothing.
Yeah, we flip the switch for the Cavs. Dane Brugler joined us on the hotline. So two Two of the quarterbacks have been working with Jordan Palmer, who came on our afternoon show, Bull and Fox, yesterday. He was talking about how they've gotten better. And you do expect the guys that work with the players to say they got better. Only helps their branding as well. We hear about that all the time. But do you believe that any of these quarterbacks have taken great strides since their last college football game?
Every single quarterback, from the time they played their final college game till the time they were drafted or undrafted, got better, according to every single quarterback coach out there. So I'm not surprised that the guy receiving checks from these quarterbacks would say that. But I'm sure they have in certain areas. You know, I mean, they've been working tirelessly the last few months. I would hope that they got better in some areas. With Sam Darnold, I know he's been working a lot on the lower body mechanics, the footwork. I think it was something that, you know, he was a big-time basketball player growing up, and I think the footwork was never really something that his high school coaches cared about at quarterback. It was something that in USC's offense, that run-and-smash offense where there was some zone read and some movement within the offense, the footwork wasn't really a big part of what they were coaching him to do. So I think that for the first time really in his career, footwork is really being kind of nailed down. And so I do expect some improvements in that area. The throwing motion, I don't think that's going to change much. That's just who Sam Darnold is. And I'm okay with it because it gets out pretty quickly. And the same thing with Josh Allen. It's you know, the footwork, his base mechanics, his ability to stay in rhythm in his drops. For a lot of these guys, you know, they took some snaps under center, but for the most part, it's been primarily shotgun and not taking the traditional 3-5-7-step drops. And so with a lot of what Jordan Palmer's probably teaching and coaching them to do, it starts with the footwork, with the base mechanics, so they're able to load up and fire in a more efficient motion.
About a minute left, Dane. What do you think they would do at 33 and 35?
Well, I think we have to be on the lookout for kind of a similar move as last year, where watch the board, see who falls in the late portion of round one, maybe move up into the back half, back third, maybe one of these running backs, maybe one of these offensive tackles. We know they need a corner. There's a good chance they could draft a corner at 33 or trade up. And that corner, it's not going to take them long to be the best corner on the roster. So I think those are absolutely possibilities. Also, you get that fifth-year option at the first-round pick. So that's something that matters a lot. So I think Isaiah Oliver from Colorado, Tyrell Crosby from Oregon, Sony Michel, Darius Geis, these guys are all names in the conversation.
Dane, we thank you very, very much, brother. You know we appreciate it. I will have your guide in my hand, like I'm preaching the draft, coming up tomorrow night. We thank you very much, buddy.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
The great Dane Brugler, at DP Brugler on Twitter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.